Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY24 earnings conference call of Tejas Networks Limited, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you.
Thanks, Yashashri. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining on Tejas Networks Limited Q2 FY24 results conference call. We have Tejas Networks management on the call, represented by Mr. Anand Athreya, Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director, Mr. Arnob Roy, Chief Operating Officer and Full-Time Director, Mr. Venkatesh Gadia, Chief Financial Officer, Dr. Kumar N. Sivarajan, Chief Technology Officer. I would like to invite Mr. Anand to initiate with opening remarks, post which we will have a Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Guys, good evening and good day. This is Anand Athreya. So this is about Q2 FY24 results. I'm happy to report that we have had the best quarter ever in Tejas history, with a revenue of 396 crores and with a year-over-year growth of 80%. And we have had the largest backlog of 9,271 crores and a healthy booking. Also, I want to say, in the last earnings call, we talked about supply chain management issues. I'm happy to say that those things are also under control. And we have also begun to ship the 4G wireless equipment to BSNL starting Q2. Okay. Now, I'll hand it over to my colleague Arnob Roy to go through a slide deck. Arnob?
Yeah. Thanks, Anand. So just to add some color to what Anand has said, we had our highest quarterly revenue till date. And however, even with this growth, we had a PAT loss, and it was a combination of the increasing investment that we have made in scaling up our R&D teams, the added rental facilities to address the growing. So just to add some color to Anand's introduction, we had the highest-ever quarterly revenue till date. However, we had a PAT loss because, as we continue to invest in growing our R&D teams, we also added new facilities in Bangalore and also increased our manufacturing infrastructure significantly to address the large upcoming shipments, not only in BSNL 4G wireless but for the other business growth that we are seeing. In addition, we had some expenditure in terms of expedite fees for pulling in delayed components for critical customer shipments. The combination of that led to a small PAT loss for us in the quarter. We also have the highest-ever order book till date. And we are not only the BSNL 4G wireless purchase order from TCS, but also due to strong order booking for wireline business for wireline products across all the product lines. For the wireless business, of course, one of the highlights was winning the large PO from TCS for supplying the 4G, 5G RAN equipment for BSNL. We also received a mobilization advance of 750 crores from TCS for executing on the order. On the wireless business side, as I said, we had a strong business growth and booking growth across all product lines. However, a few highlights. The first one was our recent press release about FiberConnect in Italy launching their broadband services in Italy using a complete portfolio of Tejas wireline products. This is kind of a showcase network for us, which uses all of our access technologies, our metro aggregation, and the long-haul technologies. It's built using a single vendor, using our products and technologies across all the applications that we have, managed by a single network management system. We were also selected as a GPON vendor for OLTs and ONTs by two leading regional ISPs in India. And thirdly, another strategic win was the selection for the backbone network of a leading media and entertainment company in the US. In terms of awards, this was a very prestigious award that we won, which is the company of the public company of the year, the 2023 Leading Lights Award by Light Reading, which is the most respected industry publication based in the US. And in this category, for our deep technology expertise, our strong balance sheet, and a long-term investment outlook and deep customer relationships. So this has been a very strong endorsement by a global media company, global publication, and recognition of our strategy, our technology, our innovation, and our long-term play in our business. Also happy to note that we got 15 more patents granted, and which brings our patent count to 282. I'll now hand it over to Garia to walk us through the details of our financial numbers.
Thank you, Arnab. Good evening, everyone. And during the current quarter, Q2, we have improved on the supply chain deliveries and done the catch-up of the Q1 shortfall on the revenues. Currently, we have scaled up and ready to handle the larger volume as we grow from this quarter onwards. As mentioned by Arnab earlier, this was the highest ever quarterly revenue done till date. Q2 consolidated revenues were 396 crore and saw a year-on-year increase of growth of 80%. Now, with the increased revenue and the contribution thereon, we are slightly above the break-even at EBITDA level during the quarter. However, our consolidated EBIT loss was 29 crore, was on account of the investment that we have done in the R&D and the team, and additional leased facilities to accommodate our future growth, and the increasing manufacturing infrastructure spend to address the large shipments to handle going forward. Including the other income, net of finance cost, the consolidated loss before tax was 18 crore for the quarter Q2. The consolidated loss after tax was 13 crore for Q2. Our EPS for Q2 was -74 paise. And also during Q2, our subsidiary Sankhya Lab made the profit of after tax of rupees 5.19 crore. And going to the half yearly number, for the half year ended, our consolidated revenues were 584 crores and saw a year-on-year growth of 69%, and the consolidated PAT loss of 39 crores for the half year ended. Next slide. During the Q2, our net worth was 3,007 crores. During the quarter, the inventory levels have been increased to 1,401 crore, primarily on account of securing the long lead components for expediting the delivery of the several critical large orders. We expect to get this converted into the finished goods and get those shipped in the coming quarters. Despite of increase in the revenues during the quarter, our trade receivables for Q2 was down to 487 crores. From 501 crores in the previous quarter. And the collections during Q2 was, which is the highest highest quarterly collection ever we have done it. We have collected about 452 crores during the quarter Q2. During Q2, our net working capital was rupees 671 crores and significantly decreased by 527 crores during the quarter, primarily on account of the mobilization advance of 750 crores collected from received from Tata Consultancy Services for the supply towards 4G supplies. As a result of this, we had a positive cash flow from operations of 532 crores for Q2, which is again the highest ever quarterly cash flow from operations. And finally, with this, our cash and cash equivalents position at the end of the Q2 was improved to 1,371 crores. And 1,371 crores. So in net-net, as a summary, during Q2, we had seen improved performance on account of the financial performance as well as the financial position as well. And as a strategy, we will continue to focus on all these things going forward as well. With this, I will hand over to Arnav once again.
Sure. Next slide, please. Yeah, this is a little bit more color on the revenues that we shipped during the first half as compared to last year. If you see the profile of business, the split between India government, India private, and international pretty much remains the same as before. Where the India private was almost 50% of our revenues, and the rest was kind of close in terms of India government was 29% and international was 23%. And the closing backlog was 9271 crores, where India obviously dominated because of the wireless purchase orders received, the 9,000 crores of India and 234 crores of international. I would like to highlight over here is that while in this quarter, wireless shipments revenue has been a relatively smaller portion of our revenues, and it has been a largely wireless revenues that have happened because we shipped around 1,000 sites initially and got our manufacturing engine ramped up in this quarter. For our BSNL 4G business, that revenue, since our direct customer is TCS, we will be categorizing that business, that revenue, in India private. And we historically do this because whenever we ship to private system integrators, we do not look at what their end customer is, whether it's sometimes it's the government, sometimes it's private operator, sometimes it's international. So we categorize that business as a private India private business when we sell to system integrators. So going forward, as our BSNL wireless shipments go up, you will actually see the India private sector starting to dominate in this pie chart. Next slide. Yeah, this is just a recap, refresh of our portfolio. As you've seen, on the right-hand side, we had this historically a very strong wireline portfolio. And and we added the wireless portfolio of 4G, 5G, and the satellite broadcast, and the satellite, and also 5G broadcast as well. So our products address a pretty large market. The wireless market is growing from $45 billion to $50 billion over a few years, and even the wireline market time is going to go to around $36 billion. So as you can see, as a combination, we are addressing a fairly large global market. And also by having this wide breadth of portfolio, we are able to address many, many applications. I mean, not only starting with 4G, 5G mobility services, to mobile backhaul applications, to wholesale services, to utilities, to critical infrastructure, enterprise services. So given this wide range of applications that we actually are able to service using a combination of our products, a lot of the addressable market becomes open to us. And as you've also seen, we have now starting to win larger applications where a large combination of these products are used for building these networks. And also want to add that we are continuing to add and evolve and refresh and upgrade and innovate on all the products and technologies in all of these segments, because all of them are growth segments for us. So next slide, please. Now I come to a brief corporate upgrade. Mr. Venkatesh Gadiyar, the CFO, has resigned from Tejas after more than 10 years to attend to his personal commitments and also pursue other interests. And we wish to place on record Gadiyar's invaluable contributions to the company, and we are grateful to him for all the contributions to the company which has brought us this far. And going forward, Mr. Sumit Dhingra will take over as CFO from 1st December. Sumit currently works as Assistant Vice President in the Group CFO's office at Tata Sons, and he has led multiple strategic business planning, capital deployment and investments, across initiatives across the group companies. It comes with a wide variety of experience across wide varieties of companies across the group, and he brings us rich experience of finance management into the company going forward. So, and Sumit has done his MBA from IIM Calcutta and Bachelor of Engineering in Computer Science from Delhi Institute of Technology. So I'll now hand it over to Anand for summarizing our quarterly performance with key messages.
Thanks, Arnab. First, I want to thank Mr. Gadiyar for your tremendous contributions for the last 10 years. Tejas is immensely grateful to, you know, what you've done for Tejas. And we wish you nothing but the best in your future endeavors and in your personal life. Thank you. Having said that, I would like to welcome Mr. Sumit Dhingra as our next CFO. He's going to be joining us in the coming months. So again, he's also very experienced, and I'm pleased to welcome him to Tejas as our next CFO. Having said that, the key takeaway is, you know, the business is good. We have a lot of opportunity. The backlog is good, you know, with a healthy backlog of 90 to 71 crores, which will help us accelerate our revenue growth in the coming quarters. We are seeing increasing adoption, and we also have, you know, growth across all of our product lines, both in wireline and wireless. And we definitely continue to make significant investments in R&D and manufacturing operations as we scale up our business. And, you know, a lot of things are coming under control, which means we have a lot of opportunity to execute consistently in the coming quarters. With this, we'll open up for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Vimal Jamnadas Gohil from Alchemy Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and heartiest congratulations on a very strong quarter. I would like to take this opportunity also to wish the best to Mr. Venkatesh Gadiyar. Thank you so much, sir. So my question, sir, firstly, if you could just quantify the expediting cost that took place in this quarter for our supply and the expected credit losses of roughly 8 crores. How is this expected to pan out and what was the reason for the same? That's question number one. And secondly, sir, if you can just highlight what's the progress been on the international piece. We have won a couple of very large orders. If you could just highlight the timelines of the execution. That would be great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, on the expedite fee, more or less, you know, it was in line with the Q1, right? It's a combination of expedite fees in the sense, you know, the component costs are going up and all these things, right? It's more or less in the quantum in the nature of Q1 only. We have incurred the similar kind of expedite fee. And secondly, coming back to the ECL, right? It is particularly related to two particular customers wherein the payments have got delayed, and we do expect to get this, the payments during Q3 and Q4 of this financial year, and that ECL, which has come as a provision, expected to get that next, one or two quarters. And it's a temporary in nature, and it's not a kind of, write-off kind of thing. It's a, particularly the payments have been delayed, hence the provision has been made.
And this is Arnab, just to add to the question on international orders. So the international orders are typically, to be fulfilled in the next quarter, within 16 to 20 weeks. And that is the timeline for doing that. And also wanted to mentioned that these are very strategic orders. You know, they are, you know, where you mentioned that large international orders, yeah, they are relatively a large point of view, you know, from a size point of view, but as, not as large as, you know, the other bids that you're looking at. But we are, we consider them very strategic because as we focus on growing our international business significantly going forward, you know, these deals and these applications serve as very important references to us, you know, for us in those, in the markets that we are targeting.
Right, sir. Sir, just one clarification on the expediting cost for supply of components. When do we see normalization? At what scale are our component suppliers comfortable for, you know, at what point will we be sitting at the same level as them in terms of negotiations, in terms of being at a, you know, having an upper hand in terms of negotiating well with our suppliers? I know we are not, I mean, as and when we scale, but I just want to know what exactly is that scale? What is there a number that we're looking at? At what point will these component challenges normalize or, you know, reduce to a significant extent? Thanks.
Vimal, so there are two components to this. You know, from a supply chain side, there are some components which have very long lead items, still 50 weeks around. And there are some components where it has come down to, let's say, 20 to 26 weeks, right? Now, having said that, I would expect this to be under better control in the coming quarters because, you know, we have, you know, two very large orders where we are required to ship them in the next, I would say, you know, 12 to 18 months, right? And we have already begun the shipment, so one quarter is done. So I would say in the next couple of quarters, we expect this to be under control. Because I mean, at that point, we would have planned all of the production, and those things will be in place.
Yeah, it is to do with the supply chain management across components with widely varying timelines. And as Anand said, in a couple of quarters, we'll be in a much better shape of in terms of being able to manage this this variability for our shipment. So it is not connected to the size of the business you're delivering. It is connected to the managing the variability of lead times of components for our products.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Deep Mehta from Bank of India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for achieving highest ever revenue as well as highest ever order book. Sir, if I have to take a slightly longer term view, let's say 3 years or even 5 years, how should the international part of our business fall out, both in terms of as a percentage of our overall revenue, as well as if we can talk about absolute amount? That will be very thank you.
Yeah. So, Deep, as you can see, we have a while currently our revenues is skewed towards India. We are, you know, fully focused on growing the international business. So our strategy is as follows. You know, India is a growing market. You know, is one of the fastest growing market in telecom, and we don't want to miss out any opportunity in our in this market. So while having said that, we are putting in a lot of investment in growing our international sales teams, in doing international business development, going to trade show, working with partners, and so on. So our focus fully remains in making sure that our international business pipeline becomes very strong, you know, in the next few quarters, and our ambition is to make sure that this business becomes a significant portion of our overall business. Okay.
Thank you, sir. That is very helpful. If I can just ask one more question, what are the key geographies or key components or key technologies which we are targeting while going international?
So you asked about the markets and the technology. So market point of view, as you know, we up till now we have been focusing a lot in the emerging markets, Southeast Asia, Middle East, Africa, and a lot of the international markets we have been working with OEM partners. But now our focus is to go direct into those markets in Europe and US, and a lot of investment and focus is going on those markets, because those are also the one of the some of the largest size telecom markets out there. In terms of the technology that we are pushing out there, you know, it's really all of what we have, as you've seen, there's a large growing market for all our technologies, wireless and wireline. So, and we serve a lot of a pretty wide variety of applications. So, and all of those applications are applicable to those markets as well. So we are targeting all possible applications that I talked about earlier.
Sure, sir. This is very helpful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of CA Kawaljeet Singh from Balaji Finvestment. Please go ahead.
Good evening and congratulations for the best top line numbers. But when will you be seeing the profits? And second, we have completed a project in Italy. Are there any such projects in pipeline or we have bid for some similar contracts elsewhere? Thank you.
Yeah. So as far as the first question is concerned, as I told you, the the PAT loss in this quarter was connected to our forward-looking investments that we have been making in anticipation of larger business growth and also executing on the business on hand. So while we don't give a guidance on the absolute future numbers as well as profitability, I mean, as you can see, we are in a positive trajectory, right? And we hope to continue that going forward. So as we do more revenues and we ship more, I mean, we should see a very positive direction in terms of the profitability without having to say any absolute numbers right now. Regarding the international business of Italy, as I said, this network in Italy is a very good reference and showcase network for us. Whenever we talk to customers, we say that, hey, I'm going to go and show you this network, which is built using the good part about this is built using end-to-end Tejas products across access, the metro aggregation and core. So it's basically built using all of our state-of-the-art technologies. So, so right now we are, while there are other customers and business pipeline which are there, they are a combination of small and large and all. And as I said, there are multiple applications that we serve. So we are chasing all opportunities across wholesale operators, mobile backhaul, mobility and stuff like that. So that's where things are regarding the business internationally, specific to Europe.
So there is another question. What will be the strategic fit for Sankhya Labs?
Yeah, so Sankhya, as you know, is a very strong in satellite communications and broadcast technology, and of course in semiconductor design. So we are going to leverage all of their skills. Their business has been also going quite well, and they were independently profitable in this quarter. And so they will continue to focus on the satellite communications as well as the broadcast business. And, we have some strategic decision and options regarding the semiconductor design using the skill set that Sankhya has and which we are finalizing. And, that's the part of the business we're going to focus on as well. But initial focus is developing chips for our own internal products for our internal consumption right now. But yes, in a nutshell, they are a very key part of our business strategy going forward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have a next question from the line of Agam from Raj Trading. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Can you tell the gross margins for this quarter versus the previous quarter and...
Yeah, we don't disclose the gross margin number, but it has been remaining pretty much the same across the last couple of quarters.
And if you can guide to now, what will be the gross margin post the execution of this order?
Execution of which order?
The BSNL PCS order.
Yeah, we don't disclose deal-wise or customer-wise or product-wise margins. It's like a blended kind of thing. And one deal in terms of having common components across deals, each and every deal as part of sourcing strategy helps in you know, the margins of all of the deals. So we not usually break down details about customer wise or product wise or PO wise deals.
Okay. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of NGN Puranik from Enam Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, Arnav. Congratulations. You have a first stage of getting the top-line hurdle you have broken. I think getting the operating leverage is more important now from here on. So I want to understand a couple of things. How is your deep IP factory working here? Because you have several IPs, several people working on it. You yourself are deeply into it. How is that getting leveraged? Because when I see, you have a 9,000 crore plus order book. Over time, when this IP is leveraged, there is a lot of potential profits and cash flows sitting in this 9,000 crore. And if you use your IP, because you have a huge IP character in your business, so how do you think that will pan out? And also, you must have done a profitability test and liquidity test on this 9,000 crore order. So can you give some sense?
So first of all, thanks, Pranik, for your encouraging words. Yes, I think the pipeline is very important for us and gives us a runway for next several many quarters. So in terms of our IP, you know, our IP that we develop goes into the heart of our products, into our core products. And these IPs also leverage across multiple products. As you know, one of the strengths of our product portfolio is the convergence of products across different applications. And most of the IP that we develop in wireless and wireline and all those things go into designing these products and making them very efficient. So you're right. I think this IP and the optimization of IP is what leads to efficient product design and better margins and all those kind of things, and makes us, you know, helps us with profitability. So that was the other question was that about have you worked out the financials of the deals and something? Yeah. So the answer is short answer.
I'm not asking you on a single contract. I'm asking you. You have aggregation of various contracts. You know. Public sector India, government India, private sector India, private sector outside, everything. So on a blended basis, you must be having a lot of profits, cash flow sitting here. So if you can give some sense of that.
As you know, Pranik, we don't give financial guidance.
No, I'm not asking for guidance. See, the potential. See, otherwise what happens, you are such an IP company. IP is you may become meaningful when it is monetized. So one day it has to happen. So you tell me what is IP doing. Otherwise, IP is not working at all. You are having several you know patents. It's not, people are not respecting that when they are not paying for that.
Okay. I think I understand your question. Your IP is there to monetizing of the patents, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Now that has to come through your product network that you create and sell it, because when you can sell cheap because you have an IP character, you know, so you can still compete well, but you still need to get your supply chain, which is most important in this business, right?
Yeah. So, Pranik, as I mentioned, the IP that we developed and that we also patent, is all of them are first of all used in our products, right? And right now we are building patents in terms of our innovative ideas, and also it's like a kind of a defensive portfolio, right? So right now, with the focus of building products and selling and building networks globally, the current focus is not in terms of, you know, going into, you know, where there are I can license IP or I can get you know, patent money or patent licensing. We're not really focused on that yet, because our hands are full in terms of product development and shipments and customer wins and so on. So to be honest, we're not yet started looking at how do I monetize the patents individually versus using
individually. When you use them into your product, So they are told where costs come down, your bill of material comes down when there is an IP already utilized. I'm saying from that context.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. You know, the IP that we develop, it brings down our, you know, costs in multiple ways. We reuse it across multiple products, right? It brings down our product development cycle. And since we also realize it on a similar kind of hardware and so on, we get the benefit of volumes and all those kind of things. So, yes, you know, the IP that we have, as I said, our biggest leverage is in the products that we develop and the efficiency and the competitiveness that it brings right now. Yes.
What plans you have for Sankhya Labs? Will they be developing homegrown chipset for you, silicons for you, long term? They seem to understand DSP space also well.
Correct. So as I mentioned, there are three areas. One part is the satellite communication products. They are very innovative set of products for satellite communication, and you know, they are developing applications and bidding into very strategic deals using their satellite communication technology. The other part is broadcast, 5G broadcast technology for you know, multiple applications, data distribution as a service, direct to mobile, and things like that. That's another innovative portfolio they have where they are addressing multiple opportunities. And the third part is their silicon design skills. So as I said, for the silicon design skills, we are first of all focusing a lot on in terms of what is those skill sets and the devices that they have that we can use in our product to get us competitiveness. And this connects with your IP question, right? I mean, all the silicon design is actually the in-house IP that we have. So our first point is leveraging what they have and also the design skills in terms of developing new semiconductors into our products. So that's the part of the strategy. We are not yet looking at how do we get into the semiconductor market of building chips and selling it globally. I mean, that's not
then you can take them to the market if it succeeds internally for yourself.
Correct.
Mm. Good. So you're not telling me what that 9,000, the secret sauce sitting in the 9,000 crore order book.
Some of the times, right.
Excellent. All the very best to you. And the best wishes to Venkatesh on his future endeavor. Oh, wonderful.
Thank you, Venkatesh.
Bye.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Nitin Gosar from BOI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this call. Just taking from the previous participant question, wanted to understand, you know, again on the IP part, at what stage we are in terms of IP utilization? Are the IP capabilities that we've developed allowing us to bid, you know, for complex projects, or the IP capabilities that we've developed are allowing us to bid at a lower price? How should we distinguish between these two buckets?
Okay. So if you look at the IP that we have, that consists of several things, right? One is the semiconductor IP that we have. The other part is the software IP that we have in terms of software protocols and stuff like that. The other part is the system design IP that we have. So these are all, so most of the techniques and innovations that we have, those are what has resulted in those patents, and these are the ones that are also used in our products. So if you look at what does it give us, three things. The innovative solutions, which gives us competitiveness against our competitors. It gives us cost benefit by being able to use our internal IP and using it efficiently across multiple products. So it makes us more competitive, both from a technology point of view as well as from a cost point of view. So that's a nutshell. But the IPs that we use go across multiple things, like whether it's software, whether it's semiconductors, whether it's a soft IP, whether it's everything, hardware, system design, all of it.
And then, and because, if I may add, because of the leverage, it also reduces the time to market.
Yes.
Got it. And that's what you indicated. The speed is the essence in terms of servicing the market.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And the second question is with regard to our cost metrics. Keeping in mind now we are in position to scale up our business, should we expect the cost metrics, at least the fixed cost part, to grow or to stay where it is? How should we look at that aspect?
So, yeah, as I said, we have invested ahead of our growth curve. right? So yes, at some point of time, I mean, this fixed cost will stabilize, and when we know that we have invested adequately to take care of our growth, it will stabilize, and you know, the business growth will be addressed by what we have. So the investments that we are making in people and infrastructure and manufacturing lines and all those kind of things, I mean, we are going to scale it to the level we need for executing on our business, and then the cost increases will come down significantly.
Got it. And sir, one last bit. I know you are not, for the competitive reason, in position to dwell out on the gross margins. But would it be good enough to understand the current quarter where we are and the gross margins we could be having? Are the appropriate margins the business would command, or there is some kind of one-offs or something?
Yeah, in the sense that, as I said, the gross margin has remained very similar across the quarter. And if you see, one of the factors you also mentioned was that was the expedite fees and all those kind of things, right? So mm-hmm. once that part comes under control because of supply chain variability, I mean, that will help us in reducing our product costs and improving our margins.
Got it. Perfect, sir. This was very helpful.
Thank you, Nitin.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have a next question from the line of Arpit Kapoor from Ashmore Investment LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Anand and Arnab, and congrats on numbers on the top line specifically. But just continuing with Nitin's question, the last one on the gross margin bit, at least in the near term. So given that a lot of chip shortage, which was probably impacting in the last 18 months, that has got addressed. But given the order book that we have, which we need to execute in the near term, how comfortable are we that we would be in a position to execute the order without, let's say, incurring those extra costs because of the delays in supply chain, which may get addressed, let's say, in the next 3 to 6 months?
Yeah, so the first of all, for those large orders, the good thing is that we have already placed our purchase orders. We already, kind of locked the prices and working towards pulling in the components as per our shipment plans. As I said, if your question was that are we going to continue to pay expedite fees over multiple quarters, we don't expect that. You know, I mean, there will be, I think that portion of our cost will slowly come down, okay, as we get better in our, more predictable in our ordering and our supply chain management. You know, earlier the whole chip supply situation was so unpredictable and so variable that it hit us badly. We are, as you said, we are towards the tail end of those kind of things. As a, you know, the variability was the factor that hit us the most. While still lead times are long, but as long as they are constant, we are able to plan more effectively, and that's what is happening. So we expect that, slowly quarter by quarter, we are getting into better control on our supply chain, and, the expedite costs will progressively come down.
Okay. And related to this is some of the incentives that the Government of India had given on the PLI front. So how would that have any impact on the numbers? So let's say what we would have produced last year and what we would be producing this year and the next. So would part of our business qualify for some of those incentives, and how would you want to account that?
Well, yes, I think we have, as you know, we have been approved for PLI. So all products that we manufacture and do business in qualify for PLI incentive. And as of now, we have applied for the PLI incentive of last year. And that's currently going through the process. We took some time to fill in the application because we wanted to go through our internal and external audits and all this kind of thing. And then we finally put in the application and waiting for clearance. And we will declare it or announce it or incorporate it in our results once it is approved. But yes, PLI is something that we are applying for all products and all shipments that we make.
Right. And last one, slightly on the medium term. So as Anand stressed on the fact that we also want to build a big, a decently big export order book. So how should one look at it on the medium term in terms of the margin profile for the company? So would you want to be someone like some other telecom equipment manufacturers which have been there listed across other geographies, or how to look at the margin profile, let's say 3 years or 5 years down the line, when the order book is much more diversified and not reliant solely on Indian order book?
Yeah, so look, as we begin to grow and we have better purchasing power or bargaining power, and also we have a good mix of both domestic and international government and non-government customers, so we will be in a, we will definitely see better margins, right?
Yeah.
And also as we do more international business, if that split becomes good, then I'm sure we will be comparable to, other large OEMs in this world.
Yeah, yeah.
So and our goal is to strive to get there, right? Now, I think with a complete portfolio and with this delivery, especially with BSNL, I think we will be viewed as a, very credible player in the wireless space also, in addition to the wireline space. And as we build more, I think we will be recognized as one of the leading OEMs in the world.
Sure. Thanks, and best wishes, team. Thank you.
Thank you, Arpit. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sachin Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. My question is, once you're done with the BSNL order and roughly execute in 18-24 months, you're talking about 4,000 crore plus kind of top line. And once you're done with this order, are you confident of sustaining these kind of run rates? That's just my question.
So the answer is, look, I think it's imperative that we deliver successfully, and this is a huge win, and a lot of things are at stake here from a lot of companies and the government and BSN and others. So it's imperative that we stay focused. But my belief is, once we execute, then we will also achieve a lot of credibility, which means we expect a lot more companies to trust us to deliver more, and I think opportunities will come. That's a belief. Now, do we have that on hand today? No. But, once you, they say, right, you build a temple, people will come. So I think, we want to get to that state.
Yeah. Also wanted to add that in terms of, business opportunities that we see in front of us in India, of course, after, the 4G and the 5G upgrade, there are other opportunities coming in 5G, from where, BSNL themselves are looking at a larger 5G network. There are government investments coming in BharatNet Phase 3, which the government has announced. This is, again, a very large deal. Apart from that, I think all the bandwidth growth, 5G-driven growth in bandwidth in the country and overhaul and upgrading of the backhaul networks, those are all. So all of these are strong opportunities for us in India. I think our leverage is, the question is that, how do we accelerate our international business growth based on these successes? And whatever we have done in India, especially with deals like this, has given us a huge international visibility as well, right? I mean, because this is one of the largest single 4G network getting built, largest single order, wireless order some people have. So our brand is getting a lot more recognition elsewhere. So while we have this huge pipeline of India business to really leverage, our focus is that we leverage our success over here to build a similar kind of pipeline internationally.
Yeah. Thank you.
So in a nutshell, opportunities are all visible. It's a question of really winning them, converting them, and building success on them.
Mr. Jain?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Aditya Mehta from GK Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So, sir, can you please share the quantum of expedited fee and the investment that we have done in this quarter?
Yeah, so we don't really disclose the specifics of expenses in each of this category, whether it's the investments or the expedite fees and all those kind of things. And as we mentioned, that hasn't had an impact in our product margins and all those kind of things. And as the next few quarters get over, as our supply chain processes get more and more mature and the supply chain, semiconductor supply chain stabilizes, I think we expect that to steadily reduce and go away in the future. But unfortunately, we don't quantify what is the hit due to expedite fees.
Okay. And secondly, how much of the order book do we plan to execute in FY24?
The wireless, you know, like 50% of the wireless roughly, and then wireline is over 24 months. I think this is more of a 24-month pipeline of wireline and wireless that we have.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of NGN Puranik from Inam Investments. Please go ahead.
I have a follow-on question. What's the feedback on the ground-level feedback on 4G implementation today from the user?
I think
I'll let Kumar answer the question.
So the customer has not published the details, I would say, that, you know, pretty much it is satisfactory. You know, there's many commercial users are using it. A lot of data is being downloaded. But exact figures, since it's customer proprietary, customer confidential, I would not like to disclose. But yes, the initial deployment have gone well.
Yeah, and also the fact that the customer has existing wireless networks, so when he compares us with his existing deployments as well from other vendors that he has. Right?
I was coming to that next question, so you answered it. So it compares very well with other vendors.
Yeah, absolutely.
On a 4G basis.
Yes. That is the very minute and detailed comparison that we go through.
Oh, excellent.
In terms of our performance.
And how long will the implementation take to complete? Next 2 year, 3 year, one? Or how long will that be?
I would say 18 to 24 months.
18 to 24 months. My other question is about from 4G to 5G when you developed. Is it an incremental effort or is it a long-haul effort to develop your backhaul?
So there are two components to it. There is an incremental effort to upgrade from 4G to 5G, but there is also a new development that has happened, for the last couple of years already. So we are, going to get ready with even the 5G radios and stuff very, very soon.
Very, very soon. So that doesn't require much capital or people investing.
I mean, as Arnab said earlier, the R&D investment is ahead of the, ROI.
So when do you see that launch, 5G launch?
It'll happen sometime next year.
Mid next year, right?
Yeah. In various phases. Uh-huh. So because there is one part of it is a 5G upgrade of the 4G side. Then the other part is 5G for the newer bands.
Oh.
Right?
Mm. Yeah.
And then, multiple different radios and MIMO and all those kind of things. So, there's a wide range of 5G products that we'll be launching over next year.
Oh, I see. So so there are a lot of upgrades from 4G to 5G. So that's again incremental while you are implementing it? Or?
So a lot of IP we are going to leverage, of course, right? A lot of IP in terms of software, in terms of design, all those kind of things due to 5G. But because of the support of new bands and some many new applications, there will be a good amount of new development that's also going to happen, both in hardware as well as software. But a lot of the core technology and development and designs will be reused.
And most of these implementations are outsourced or?
Everything.
In-house.
In-house,
everything
oh.
Happened, I think. Yes.
So how many people you added in the last 6 months, 1 year?
We almost doubled our R&D team. And then similar kind of growth in all other manufacturing.
On the implementation team?
Implementation mean you're talking to the field teams around?
Yeah, the people who implement this at the network level.
So the primary investment has been in R&D. But there has been a marginal, in support and other functions. But in this particular case, because we are using TCS as the SI, they would do the deployment.
Oh, TCS will be doing the deployment then. Right?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. In the interest of time, I think we are open for one last question, please.
Sir, there are no questions currently.
Okay. So, again, all great questions and thank you very much and thanks for your support.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.